live in a greedy little world that teaches every little boy and girl to earn as much as they can possibly, then turn around and spend it foolishly. We created us a credit card mess. We spend the money that we don't possess. Our religion is to go and blow it all. So we're shopping every Sunday at the mall. All we ever want is more.
Good morning, listeners. Welcome to the Friday, October the 10th, 2008 broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are on the web, republicbroadcasting.org, freedomadvocates.org, and vocallocal.org. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you, but again today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you are indeed in the right place at the right time to become a vocal local. Yesterday was a live broadcast. I gave the wrong date in the opening. I have many little crutches and systems for freedom that I've developed, but I forgot to change the date in my opening. So nevertheless, yesterday was a live broadcast, and so is today. Today is the 284th day of 2008, and that means there are only 82 days left to make a difference. What are you doing? Have we started a precinct group yet? Have you entered into conversation with your neighbors, maybe, to see whether they would be interested in doing such a thing? Have you got a copy of your precinct map? Do you understand how many counties there are in your state? Do you know what kind of a state government you have? How about a county government? Do you know where your state capital is? Where's your county seat? Do you live in that county seat? Who is the county clerk? Who is the county recorder? Lots of stuff. Lots of stuff. We've had so much information given out in the last couple of weeks that I was overwhelmed yesterday. I hit the wall right after the broadcast. I was barely able to get through the broadcast. My brain was just pulsing. I'd been up quite late overnight trying to put together that article on status to answer one of our listeners' inquiries. And I had just had all I could stand. And I just went right down on the floor and on my mat and almost took a nap, but I just can't seem to take a nap. I'm too old to take naps. I'll go to bed and go to sleep if that's going to come down the pike. But anyway, today will be an open lines type of a Friday. Your calls are welcome at 1-800-313-9443. You know, there's lots of chatter out there on the internet. We have, I think, in some cases, cognitive dissonance, many different people advancing different ideas. And as a result, you, the listening audience, maybe are flying around like a kite in the wind with many gusts blowing you from this way and that way, and your tail's all snaggled up and your kite string is all knotted up and whatnot. And so I think we need to concentrate on trying to eliminate some of that cognitive dissonance. Today I'll talk a little bit about that. Take your calls, like I said, and much more. This Revolution Radio had a candidate debate last night. I don't know whether it was canned or whether it was live, but I listened to parts of that. We'll talk a little bit about that. We might look at some of Plan B. Some of you understand what Plan B is already. You can find it on vocallocal.org, download it, read it, understand the concept. But anyway, we'll go into precincts and counties, national organizations, getting started at the precinct level. We'll take your calls, go into much more, and basically just recover some of the ground that we've covered in the past and add a few new items to our matrix here, our mix. And as you know, I've said many times, knowledge is power, but it's only powerful when it's combined with action. So we become vocal local right where we are, right where we are. Keep your eyes fixed right in close. The prize is right where you are. It's in your county government that things can really start to turn around. It's in your city governments, your town governments, your school boards, your water boards. All of these places are places where we can work. So anyway, we'll be back right after this first break and really get into some interesting discussion and take your calls. Stay with us.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. Take Super Beta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Super Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Super Beta Prostate banner to learn more about the product.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264. And johnglia.com.
Now, a broadcaster on another network, I like to listen to his broadcast. I think he's an intelligent young man. But quite frequently he's made the comment that, you know, it's like a one-man army, you know, as opposed to forming groups, you know. And there may be a lot of truth to that. In the so far as that, I certainly haven't heard from that many of you that have gone ahead and set up your precinct groups, although I do know that's happening all over the nation. But maybe we do need to start with ourselves, you know. Like I say, we do this old Ziegler thing, but it's doing a checkup from the neck up. Sometimes we need to start with ourselves and be that one-man army that's in the process of gathering the necessary information together so that you can actually create a group. So that there's actually something that you can begin. You have to know, you have to start from someplace. And so we can start from right where we are now. With 82 days remaining, think of it in the line of like a basketball game, where in the first quarter, everybody is, all the stars are posing and posturing and showing everybody their new shorts and jerseys and whatever, and out there with their haircuts and dues and so on and so forth, showing off their new tennis shoes. By the halftime, they start to think about the amount of money that they're making, and the coach leans on them a little bit. So they kind of skate through the third quarter, and then when they come down to the fourth quarter, they realize that this is where their paycheck really lies, and they get busy. In the last few seconds of the game, you know, they're just flying back and forth up and down the court, you know, shooting from one end to the other and doing all of this stuff, and perhaps you've seen it on TV. But that's the idea of the pressure of a deadline, the powerful, extra motivational force of a deadline when you know the time's running out, when all your chips are on the table, Well, I think you can see over the past couple of weeks through this various bailout thing and the various economic calamities that you're hearing about that folks' time is running out. So what are you doing? I have to ask it, you know. How many of you have gotten those precinct maps? Do you understand why we're doing what we're doing? How about the election calendar? Have you put together an election calendar for next year, even for the rest of this year? What other elections are going to come up in your area in the next 82 days? Who's going to be on the ballots? What issues are going to be running? What things can we do between now and the end of the year to improve our position in this restoration of our constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government? There are lots of questions that I'm asking myself as I reevaluate this broadcast and everything about this broadcast, and how can I expand it, and how can I improve it, and how can I reach a wider audience? I feel as though I have a deadline, too, and I need to make this audience, our audience grow. I've got to get it out to more people. So I've been spending an inordinate amount of time on the Internet, on the computer, emailing, letting people know that this broadcast exists, encouraging them to come here to coordinate with me a little bit, so that I know what they're doing, so that we don't have to walk into this cognitive dissonance where everyone's bringing up a different thing. Everyone's got a different flag, and I think that's so destructive. It really is counterproductive. So anyway, yesterday this Revolution Radio had a candidate debate, and I, like I said before, I don't know whether it was canned or whether it was live, but there was one of the candidates, multiple party 19 or something. I don't remember what the name of his multiple fractional group was. But anyway, he was saying, you know, looking for cultural solutions to the political problems. Cultural solutions to the political problems. Instead of seeking political solutions to the political problems, he's advocating cultural solutions. Well, I guess for Marxists or whatever that might be, I don't know what it is. Maybe I don't have a clue where he's coming from. But if we understand, folks, that most of the cultural problems that are facing us in the United States all have political origins, each and every one of them. You know, the 501c3 churches didn't just come out of the blue. It's a political decision. It was a political decision. It's a corporate and political decision. It has financial ties and financial roots. When you think about the educational system, as Charlotte Isherby so accurately states, the deliberate dumbing down of America, it's another political problem. It wouldn't have come into play had the National Education Association, is that right, NEA, had that not come into play, had the federal government not gotten their fingers into our educational system, if the internationalists had not brought forward their global agenda and implemented it through our schools, we wouldn't have the problems that we have right now. The idea of dumbing our children down so that they can seamlessly merge with the Bolivian peasant, again, this is not a cultural problem. What this is a political problem. It's coming from global to local, which is why we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda as it comes into our towns and in our cities and our counties and our states. There are political solutions to these things. Why do we have the problem that we're having with the bailout bill? Because there was no political will in Congress to say no. Why is the Federal Reserve still in existence? Because Congress refuses to take any action. Why? Because they're like so many puppets, we all know that. They're having their strings pulled from the outside. What's a political solution? Bring in constitutionally minded candidates that are strong in their resolve, that are not coming into it for a career, who are willing to stand up and say no to the lobbyists, even if it costs them their lives. You know, someplace along the line, we're going to have to put our chips on the table too, and stand up and be counted. Stand fast. Be the good, the clean, the pure, the powerful, and the positive. And just say no to these kind of things. So anyway, there's that. I disagreed with that candidate. I disagreed with most of the candidates that were on that symposium, their points, their positions. It was basically, in my opinion, a bunch of rhetoric, pipe dreams, things that can't happen. Within the face of an established two-party political system, all third parties are rendered meaningless. They have no access to the higher levels. They may be able to gain a little bit of ballot access for their fractional party, but they're not going to go any place towards being in a position to solve these political problems. That's why I advocate embedding within the two political parties. We need to work within the existing established statutorily provided system and bring that decaying, bloated, cancerous system down. And I don't believe that we need to replace it with another party system. All again, there's just more division, parties and factions. I've read from the founding documents. You understand that our founders didn't have that in mind when they set up our system of government. So what kind of a system of government do we have? What can we find out about it? First of all, from the standpoint of precincts and counties, you know, I've been saying on air that I really don't know how many precincts there are in the nation. And I've been sending out emails to various people, people who should know, people who could tell me that answer accurately. I haven't gotten any success at all from the Census Bureau. But I finally locked into this group. It's called the National Association of Election Officials. National Association of Election Officials. All right? Look it up. Go on the internet, whether you Google it, web ferret it, dog pile it, or just run it through Mozilla. Just check it out. See if you can get it up on your screen. It's the National Association of Election Officials. And on that website, you can learn considerable. Go through it, read everything on it, study every bit of it. It has a lot to do with what we're going to need to do in the next 2 years if we're going to be successful in 2010. So anyway, I sent an email to them, and I got a reply. Here's my email back from a Mr. Doug Lewis, the executive director of the National Association of Election Officials. And I'd ask him a variety of questions, primarily how many precincts, voting precincts, parish townships or wards are there in our country, in the nation. And so here's his answer. Mr. Roberts, it changes, sometimes dramatically, every 2 years. So they don't have an answer. He can't give me an answer. The National Association of Counties is the best source for the number of counties, and we're going to go to that website next. But in America, counties are not the only ones responsible for conducting elections for president and Congress. In the New England states, as well as Michigan and Wisconsin, elections are conducted not at the county level, but at the township and or city level. So in addition to 3,000 counties, there are roughly 4,500 to 4,800 more townships conducting elections. In Virginia, the job is somewhat divided between counties and some cities under arcane Virginia state laws. As to precincts, it varies due to the state legislative changes and or population growth or decline. It appears currently to be somewhat less than 200,000 precincts, but the number of polling places would be even less than the precincts, since some states in local jurisdictions combine several precincts into one polling location. We won't know the exact number in use until sometime next year, when all the data is reported to the United States Election Assistance Commission in its Election Day survey. Well, I'm going to put a response to this and send it back to Mr. Lewis, and I'm going to ask him for the last time they put this survey together. If we won't know all of the exact numbers until after this coming election, then surely the information must be available from the 2000 election that we could tap into and the 2004 election so that we could do an income averaging, so to speak, and get a little closer number. But nevertheless, you can see this. There's a lot from a source that should absolutely be able to tell you without a question of a doubt just exactly how many voting precincts and break them out. Here we have the National Association of Election Officials, who only have a general or a vague idea. Is there any wonder why it's difficult to make any headway in the political process? Let's go into this other one just briefly. I don't have it up on my screen, and I can't run both because I've got the chat link to RBN open on my computer, and I would have to go away from that, which would be foolish for me to do, to go to these other websites. But in the National Association of Counties, you can go to their website, and I would suggest you do. Once again, just type it into your web browser, National Association of Counties, and go in and study around on that today. And look at your state, look at your counties, look at your county governments, find out how many counties there are in your state. Get to know your state. Look at the map. Do you have a state map? If you have a state map, maybe a road map or an atlas that shows all of the counties, look at the work that we have to do. Why are we squandering time? We have all those precincts, and we need an organization in every one of them. We'll be back right after this break. Stay with us, and we'll go into county government. We'll be right back.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, thin, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Back. Now, before I go into the counties, let me give you a quotation from Thomas Jefferson in regards to town government. This is what he said. He said, "These wards, called townships in New England, are the vital principle of their governments and have proved themselves the wisest invention ever devised by the wit of man for the perfect exercise of self-government and for its preservation." And again, "These little republics would be the main strength of the great one. We owe to them the vigor given to our revolution in its commencement in the eastern states." Close quote, Thomas Jefferson. So we carefully research the history. We look into the future. We know where we want to go. We visualize where we want to go. And then we find ourselves right in the present, always falling forward into the future. And so trying to come up with an idea of just how great and how magnificent, you know, what the magnitude is of this battle here, this struggle of capturing majority positions in all of the counties on the Republican and Democratic parties with the intent of bringing some sanity back to our system of government by healing the wound that was caused by the division of the party systems and coming back unified under the Constitution in our several states and as a national government. I have been looking into the number of counties there actually are. And so one of the most reliable numbers, in other words, the ones that keeps coming up most repeatedly, is 3,066 U.S. counties. Now, there are 3,033 counties, and then there are 33 city county governments. that combine together into that 3,066 number. So we can see that not everything that we can talk about here on Become Vocal Local is going to be the panacea and the toolbox that you're going to need locally. Every one of these 3,066 governmental entities are going to have to be understood and researched locally so that you know what kind of systems that you're up against there. And certainly there will be a considerable amount of repetition that we can draw from. But even in size, there's a great difference too. There's the smallest of all the counties in the United States of America is the Arlington County in Virginia, and it has 26 square miles. The largest is the North Slope Borough in Alaska, and it has 87,860 square miles. Now, population figures on the North Slope in the North Slope Borough are going to be quite low. The population figure for Arlington County, Virginia is likely to be quite high. But the smallest population is can be found, if my research is accurate, is in Loving County, Texas. Loving County, Texas, with 140 people. The largest is, of course, L.A. County, California, with 9.2 million. There are 48 states that have county government, but Connecticut and Rhode Island have geographic regions that are called counties, but they don't have county government. It was some years back, prior to the 60s, that Connecticut closed down its county government and went to a new form. So again, it's not going to be a one-size-fits-all, one shoe for everybody. Each of the various areas, each of the various states needs to be analyzed by you, the listeners, you, the residents, and then we're going to need to develop strategies for each of those locations on a point-by-point individual basis. In Louisiana, there are no counties, they're parishes. And, of course, in Alaska, they're boroughs, boroughs. I grew up in Alaska. I grew up in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I went to the attended school in the North Star School District, North Star School Borough, I think is what it was. Anyway, long stories in short, there's different ways of looking at the county governments. At the same time, not all of the county governments are run by the same hierarchical system. Here in Missouri, we have a three-person county commissioners. Three county commissioners are the highest officers, and they combine both legislative and executive authority in the county. In Arkansas, they use JPs, Justice of the Peace, and sometimes a county executive over that. So there's going to be a difference. In some places, other systems are set up, and they might be known as county executives. So all of this needs to be researched, and you can do that on the National Association of County website. And I recommend that you do it. And while you're there, go through all of the various sidebars and clicks. It only took me maybe an hour. Hour and a half to go through it all, but there are lots of, there's a library there. You can find out about codes and ordinances. You'll find out about your emergency management systems and how that works. There are some various PDF documents that you could download if you were interested, or just view them and read them. You're going to learn a lot about your county government right on that website. And then, of course, there's your state Secretary of State's office that will also be able to give you some more information in regards to your county. But we need to understand what it is that we're looking at when we start thinking about tackling something like county government. When I was going to climb a mountain, let's use an example, Mount Rainier, a friend of mine called me. He tried, made several attempts with professional guides, couldn't do it. He said, "Hey, Will, you know, take me to the top of this mountain." I said, "Sure, no problem. Never been there. Never even looked at it, never even thought about it, really." August 1994, I was on the top of it making a cell phone call to my brother in Botha, Washington. Told him to come outside and look at the top of the mountain. "I'm up there waving at you, brother." We'll be back right after this moment. We'll find out more about climbing mountains and succeeding in political activism. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
question.
Is the world getting better or vastly worse?
A world economic collapse could come any day.
Question. Are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question. Do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
Listener, ask yourself, can I be deceived? Matthew 24 states 4 times in the last days that many will be deceived. There are many ideas about the mark of the beast and the Antichrist. What do you know about the beast, its mark, and the Antichrist? Is the beast a superpower nation or a giant computer in Belgium? Is its mark a chip implant, a tattoo, the national ID card, or 666? Is the Antichrist a person, title, or both? Is the beast and the Antichrist one and the same? Some believe all this is yet future. Others believe that it is in the past. 1 John states that the Antichrist is already in the world. What is the truth and what is a lie? Are you willing to search God's word for the truth? Friends, all these answers are in the Bible. For free books, DVDs, and Bible studies exposing the Antichrist, the beast, and its mark, write The Bible Says, Box 99, Lenore City, Tennessee, 37771, or call 1-888-211-1715, 1-888-211-1715. Please remember to mention you are from RBN.
There we go.
You've heard the commercials on Life Change Tea, the all-natural, clean-your-system-and-lose-weight product. Well, maybe you don't believe. Maybe you doubt. For those who don't believe, we will give you a money-back guarantee. That's right, a 45-day money-back guarantee. Some restrictions apply. That's right, if you don't feel better and lose weight, you can get your money back. So what are you waiting for? Call now. Friendly operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can go to LifeChangeTea.com. Read up on us. You have nothing to lose but wait.
Yeah. Now, listeners, the idea of climbing a mountain, especially a mountain you haven't ever climbed before, really the place to start in all of that, first you have to do, you know, your own checkup from the neck up. You need to make sure that you're physically capable of doing it and that you have the desire to do it and that you have the right, you know, equipment and so on and so forth. But beyond that, the next stage is to find out something about the mountain. And so I went to the USGS, and by the way, your calls are welcome, 1-800-313-944. I'm just kind of going through a litany here of a variety of different topics that are in my mind, and your calls would be welcome at 1-800-313-9443. But I went to the USGS map office and got maps, large-scale maps of Mount Rainier, laid them all out on the living room floor, and then I just did what I always do when I'm going to do a mountain climb, and I study all the maps, and you look for ridges and routes and places that others have gone before you, places that you'd like to try to add something new, maybe get a first ascent by going in a different direction than others have, try things like that out, etc. But so the same thing happens right in your local voting precinct. If you want to understand about your county and understand about county government, and begin to start taking back your county, climbing that mountain, summiting it, and becoming, you know, holding that summit position at the county commission level, at the head of your Republican and Democratic Party in your county, then you're going to need to have a map. And those maps are readily available. You can get them from your county election authority's office. It's a precinct map. It's the same map that the election judges have at your polling place. And before you start thinking that, oh, this is impossible, I can't do this, Don't box yourself in with self-imposed limitations. you know, remember, whether you believe you can or you can't, you're absolutely right. If you believe you can't, you'll never, you know, you're whipped before you start. If I didn't think I could climb that mountain and climb it in the first attempt, then I would have never been able to do that, and I did do that. If I didn't think that you would be able to effectively build an organization in a precinct, an area the size of a precinct, then, of course, I would never start. But I believe that you can do it, and so because I believe that you can do it, then I'm not stopped. It's just going to happen. But look at the challenges. You know, you might be sitting there wringing your handkerchief playing the game called Ain't It Awful, all up and down in a malaise of the paralysis of analysis. But think of yourself if you were someone that lived in Point Barrow, for instance, Alaska, and you found yourself inside the North Slope Borough, facing 87,860 miles of tundra and trying to build a group there, a political action group there, where you weren't part of the elite that we talked about yesterday. You didn't have access to helicopters and airplanes to get around. You'd have to charter an airplane to fly from village to village in order to build community amongst these groups and start taking your county back, your borough back. So it could be worse, folks. It could be 60 degrees below zero, facing 87,860 square miles of territory, and it's all frozen. So, you don't think of yourself as getting the dirty end of a stick here. You probably got it easy. And if you're down in Loving County, Texas, with 140 people, take that county back right away. Do it. Okay, let's go into a little bit more here, change things around. We talked about status yesterday. Here's a couple of items that fall into the category of status. I'll just share with you quickly. Headright. It's to encourage settlement. Colonial governments issued rights to take specified amounts of unoccupied land, usually 50 or 100 acres, for each person arriving in their territories. The headright went to whoever paid the passage of the newcomers, not necessarily to the immigrants themselves. Interesting, is it not? Quit rent. Holders of headrights generally had to pay a small annual fee to the issuing authority. A quit rent was a tax rather than a rent, since the person paying it had legal title to the land. Unlike modern property taxes, however, the amount was fixed and unrelated to the value of the land. And here's the fourth, indentured servant. Since many Europeans who wished to come to the colonies could not afford passage money, they indentured themselves to ship's captains or established colonists, agreeing to work for a set term, usually between 5 and 7 years. In exchange for their passage, they were subject to strict control by their masters. But when their terms were completed, the masters were obliged to provide them with some farm tools, seed, and other essentials so they could strike out on their own. The headright associated with each indentured servant went to the master, who was the person responsible for bringing the servant to the colonies. Let's not think of ourselves as if, you know, we've got some kind of a millstone tied around our neck. Yes, we're for the most part, largely wage slaves. But thank goodness that you're not an indentured servant. Thank goodness you're not here under a term of years to a master. And so you have an opportunity that wasn't present to those that came here to found this nation, but they were willing to give up 5 to 7 years of their life just to get started in the new world. So if they were willing to invest that kind of time and effort, can't you invest just a few hours each month, volunteer time, and start building that local voting precinct group right where you are? Let's go back to B.A. Hinsdale's American Government, and I'll just read a little bit from it to give us an idea of what we're trying to do. He goes like this. And remember, this was a textbook. Attention may be directed to 3 points especially. The first is that the American pupil should be taught his rights under the government. The second is that he should be taught his duties as related to those rights. And the third is that a spirit should be created that will lead him to insist upon the one and to perform the other. In other words, rights and duties, folks. Unless the great body of citizens living under a republic shall measurably conform to this standard of activity, that is, insist upon their rights and discharge their duties to the state, the republic cannot be long maintained. Now, Professor Bryce, in the article that is referred to below, lays deserved emphasis upon this point. He says that teachers should not be deterred by the abstractness of the subject, from trying to make the pupils understand the meaning of such terms as the nation, the state, and the law. You need not trouble yourself, he goes on to say, to find unimpeachable, logical definitions of these terms. That is a task which still employs the learned. What is wanted is that he should grasp the idea first, of the community, a community inhabiting a country united by various ties, organized by mutual protection, mutual help, and the attainment of certain common ends. Next, of the law, as that which regulates and keeps order in this community. And next, of public officers, great or small, as those whom the law sets over us and whose business it is to make us obey the law, while they also obey it themselves. My, how times change. This counsel is directed to the teacher of the school, and it is not going too far to insist that the pupil who leaves the elementary school at the close of its course of study should be well grounded in these ideas. Such teaching will not fail to develop in good measure that high civic spirit which has been so characteristic of the great commonwealths and which is so essential to good government. So we can go back to 1891 and look at a simple, one of the best, one of the only, one of the biggest, one of the most expansive books on political science, this The American Government by Hinsdale, and we can find out that when we talk about and when we think about and we move towards forming our local precinct groups, we then become the educators for those that live around us. Many of you in the listening audience have had the incredible gift of all of the teaching and all of the information and all of the great hosts and all of the great speakers on Republic Broadcasting and around on the internet media system. And if you hoard that information, I think John Stadtmiller uses the term information sponge. If you sponge up all of the information and then never turn around and use it, like I say, knowledge is power, but it's only powerful when it's combined with action. So we become vocal local by forming the groups and beginning to teach others and share this information with others, even if it were impossible, and it's not, to alter your county government so as that you could come out of the jackboot of globalism as it transitions from global to local right to where you are. You know, as we say, all politics are local, but trouble often finds you right where you are. So even if it were not possible, and it is possible, then at least you would have people around you who would be coming along in their educational process, who would be coming into this new understanding and this new knowledge. Perhaps you have some young people in your area, in the anywhere from 12 to 18 age range, that you could invite to come to your meetings. Could you imagine if you could help them to start off in their lives with an accurate understanding of the Constitution and the founding documents? Can you understand how in just a few short hours of your invested time, perhaps by sharing some books out of your library or pocket constitutions, which you can obtain for almost nothing in bulk, 30 cents or 40 cents a copy, I've given away thousands of them, but can you imagine what change you might be able to affect right where you are? That we would have a whole new generation of people coming along who understood what kind of a government we were supposed to have? What would happen if the entire system of government in our nation collapses in the face of great economic turmoil? You know that government abhors a vacuum. That as soon as someone is taken out of the position, remember the Bolsheviks and the Mensheviks, all of the shootings in the head that went on with the intelligentsia, remember Iraq just recently, going in and wiping out all the people that were holding, you know, doctors and all of the educators in school and all of the officials that worked under that madman, Saddam Hussein. What happens then? What we need is a replacement set, folks, and you are that replacement set, and I'm that replacement set, and we need to multiply and duplicate just like Ray Kroc, you know, billions and billions served. And we can do this, and we can do it quickly. Remember, there's only 3,068 counties in the entire country. We don't need hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. We need a few dedicated people who are willing to begin, to be a county leader. If you wanted to break it down to the next level, you could go to congressional districts. There are even fewer of them where the counties are bundled together in a congressional district. Maybe you live in a congressional district that has no leadership of any kind. You could become the local leader in your congressional district and then begin going around and visiting with people that you might know or run into in the various counties. You could be a seed sower, all right? So these are things that we can do, things that, are not that difficult. You know, we hear about it and hear about it and hear about it. The Blackwater, you know, everybody's concerned about, oh, martial law's coming, martial law, you know. He wears a 10-gallon hat and spurs and he's got six guns on both of his hips. Well, as most of you in this audience know, the neocons, Dick Cheney and William Kristol and Irving Kristol and Paul Wolfowitz and Richard Pearl and the rest of the crowd, the bunch, the gang, they're all followers of the German emigre Leo Strauss. And Leo Strauss was really big on Machiavelli. I don't know if any of you have got a copy of The Prince. It's a very minor book. It's very important, but it's very small. It's only got maybe 100 pages in it at most. Yeah, just a little over 100, 127 in this particular edition. But in chapter 12, here's the title. Well, I should go into it a little bit more. Machiavelli is a very important book. The Prince was basically an analysis of statesmanship and power that was given by Machiavelli, Niccolò Machiavelli, to the various princes in his time period as a guide, much like Sun Tzu's Manual of War is used as a guide for many that are in the know. But here in his chapter 12, this is called the Different Kinds of Militia and Mercenary Soldiers. I'll just read a little brief excerpt here. He says, I say, therefore, that the arms by which a prince defends his positions are either his own or else mercenaries or auxiliaries or mixed. The mercenaries and auxiliaries are useless and dangerous. And if anyone supports his state by the arms of mercenaries, he will never stand firm or sure, as they are disunited, ambitious, without discipline, faithless, bold amongst friends, cowardly amongst enemies, they have no fear of God, and keep no faith with men. Ruin is only deferred as long as the assault is postponed. In peace you are despoiled by them, and in war by the enemy. The cause of this is that they have no love or other motive to keep them in the field beyond a trifling wage, which is not enough to make them ready to die for you. They're quite willing to be your soldiers so long as you do not make war. But when war comes, it is either fly or decamp altogether. I ought have little trouble in proving this, since the ruin of Italy is now caused by nothing else but through her having relied for many years on mercenary arms. These indeed help certain individuals to power and appeared courageous when matched against each other. But when the foreigner came, they showed their worthlessness. So let's not be too concerned about the mercs. They're in it for the money, folks. They have no love of country. They have no loyalty. And they'll fold up like a bunch of wet handkerchiefs when they come under the loyal patriot army. And when we think about these local voting precinct groups, as I've said so often right here on Become Vocal Local, this is not a good time to be by yourself. Now, Edwin Vieira, I went on their website there and looked at the committees of safety. He's got a kind of a good idea. But again, he focuses right back down on the local voting precinct. When you have a local voting precinct group, it can be multifaceted. Today, it can be working towards political ends. Tomorrow, it can be providing food. The day after that, it can be working for shelter or restoration after a storm. It can also come together as a voluntary militia. Every one of these possibilities exists. But if you have no group, then it's just one man against all men. You're back to the state of nature, all men at war against all men, and you will lose. You will perish, and it will be very quick and sudden. So let's not be so foolish as to think that we're going to be able to succeed at this as one-man armies. Surely one man can change the world. Who? Who am I? Who am I to think? Who am I to think that? Who am I to think that I can, and who am I to think that I can change the world? Who? Who am I? That poster from so many years ago. But a one-man army can begin the process. It always takes a nucleus. But let your work be the zygote, that splitting of cells, so to speak, where your actions become the work of two, and then four, and then eight, and 16, and 32, and 64, and 128, and 256, 1012, 2048, and on it goes. allow yourself to split double again, and then we'll be in a position to really make hay while the sun is shining. Because we have, just like the timetable, remember I started out the broadcast talking about the basketball game. 2010, there are specific dates by which we need to be ready. If we're not ready in 2010, then the opportunity to take back our counties will again be lost to us. I read from you excerpts out of a letter I wrote to Jack Blood a long time ago when he was still up in Providence, Rhode Island, before he came down as a host of the Inn. If we'd started then, folks, we wouldn't be in the shape we're in today. But let's start today and never quit. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
States of America survive a total breakdown, disarmed, prostrate before an unfriendly third world, and overwhelmed by politically correct domestic tyranny? Does the spirit of 1776 still live in American hearts? Was 9/11 a wake-up call, a Pearl Harbor for America, or was it Western civilization's Appomattox to Islamo-fascism? These questions and more are answered in Pandemonium in 2012, the new book by Lee Cross.
This is Lee Cross. Americans, Paul Revere's words still ring true. The Redcoats are coming. But today they swapped their red coats for ACLU law books and Islamic terrorist bombs. Read how to stop them. Buy my new book.
Fiction or prophecy, you decide after you buy and read the new book by Lee Cross, Pandemonium in 2012. Published by Virginia City Publishing. Available to order through most bookstores or Amazon.com.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johnglia.com.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. Take Super Beta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Super Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Super Beta Prostate banner to learn more about the product.
And we're back, sailing into the shortest segment of the day. Now, over the weekend, I can give you a homework assignment if you take one from me. Perhaps you could look at your pocket constitution or read the Constitution again. And this time, as you read it, visualize in your mind our nation's government, our state governments, without political parties. Can you see anything in the Constitution that would lead you to believe that a House divided needs to exist? Can you find any place in the Constitution that would lend any credence to the establishment and perpetuation of this two-party system? There's your homework assignment. And while you're at it, look and see how the representative system works. Think of how we would be able to have a system of representative government with a direct election of our representatives without having to go through the mediator, the facilitator, the filter of political parties. What would it be like under that kind of a system? That's what I advocate. Maybe you could find that to be interesting yourself. Study on that. Here's a little something, curiosity. Remember, we need to understand what's going on in our counties, and so we become the watchers. We watch the watchers. Check your newspaper, follow local events, what taxes are being proposed, what proposals are being proposed, what programs are coming in on you and at you, what new agencies are being founded. So here's from muckraking. Muckraking. What is muckraking? It was the name that was given to investigative journalism that flourished in the early 20th century. Muckrakers such as Lincoln Steffens and Ida M. Tarbell exposed the graft, the corruption, and other sleazy aspects of the progressive era. Theodore Roosevelt compared the more sensationalistic of these journalists to John Bunyan's Man with the Muck Rake in Pilgrim's Progress, that's where the term came from, who was so concerned with the filth he was raking up that he missed a celestial crown when it was offered to him. Are you going to miss the celestial crown offered to you, this opportunity to restore our constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government, one precinct, one county, one state at a time? Are you going to miss this little jewel, this opportunity? That it's fleeting, folks. We're right back into that last 82 days of the year. It's a fleeting thing. Time marches on. But the election calendars are going to wait for no one. They're going to come and they're going to go. And we're either going to be able in a position to dominate those calendars, or we'll be dominated by whomever is proposed by the two parties to dominate us. And so I would go to George Washington here, and I say, this is off the back of the Citizens Rule Book that's published by the Witten Publishers, one of my favorite to purchase in bulk and hand out. It says, government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. The words of George Washington. Okay? George Washington. Very interesting. I think we need to understand this. Each of us has a natural right from God to defend his person, his liberty, and his property. These are the three basic requirements of life, and the preservation of any one of them is completely dependent upon the preservation of the other two. For what are our faculties but the extension of our individuality? And what is property but an extension of our faculties? If every person has the right to defend, even by force, his person, his liberty, and his property, then it follows that a group of men have a right to organize and support a common force to protect these rights constantly. Thank you for listening. My name is William Robertson. Until the next time, good day.